No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you for joining me here on a Monday to start the week. Not a game recap as per usual, obviously, this week with the Colts playing on Thursday night. So now we've got a fresh week underway. Colts heading into week 16. Two games left. Out of contention. And, you know, the Colts have a situation ahead of them this season that has really been difficult to handle for a lot of us fans. It's been a lot of difficulty to handle for people, you know, covering the team in general. I think it's been, you know, there's been a lot of misinformation. There's been a lot of stuff that's kind of happened under the radar, I guess you could say, that it just really continues to try our patience with how this team is done. But I think that most of us are reasonably and cautiously optimistic that things are turning around for the better one way or another. I think that we all see the rising of this team in the near future, but that took possibly a hit today with the news from Chris Mortensen. Obviously was a little, you know, surprising, I think I would say. There was a tweet that came out. He said that Chris Mortensen said that Andrew Luck will be returning from his European treatment soon, and that he'll resume his throwing regimen that will ultimately determine whether he needs corrective surgery to his biceps tendon, per multiple sources. So that kind of took, you know, at least my day by surprise for sure, and likely yours as well as soon as you heard that. Basically, the situation, you know, with him going to Europe, everybody assumed he was doing stem cell treatment and, you know, that type of procedure where they spin your blood and they do this and they do that. It's all very, you know, strange and difficult to understand, I suppose, unless you're in the medical field or whatever. And, you know, what do we take from this? I mean, does the conspiracy theories, so to speak, kind of take off with all of this news? Is this something that, you know, we're going to have, you know, the equal amount of patience with as fans, wondering if Luck now is going to be out for the 2018 season rather than is he going to have another surgery and be ready? It seems like we're going to have to deal with this for 2 years in a row. Not only are we dealing with this two off seasons in a row of questioning whether Luck will be ready for week one, but we've got to hear the same old crap from the team, from Irsay, from everybody, basically. You know, we're going to hear, I mean, I think the off-season storylines as far as, you know, what were the quotes from all the people in charge, everybody who's making the decisions, are going to be eerily similar between each season, between the 2016 and 17 season and now between the 2017 and 18 season. But this, there's still a lot to be determined with this. Like I mentioned earlier, at the beginning of that tweet, Luck will be going through his throwing regimen. So Luck's going to come back. He's going to go through his throwing set, and he is basically going to be seeing what his pain threshold is. As far as, you know, from the information that we've got, that's what we are understanding. And that will determine ultimately whether he'll have surgery on the biceps tendon. Now, the quick an easy answer for that is the biceps tendon is kind of a secondary operation to what he had done on his shoulder. So being that I'm not in the medical field by any stretch of the imagination, and I wanted to get some intelligent news on this and I wanted to be able to understand this as well as you guys want to be able to understand this. So Will Carroll is going to join us here in just a few minutes. He's going to tell us what we need to know, basically, about all of this. What's the process? What is the realistic possibility of each scenario? And we'll go through that with Will. Like I said, we're 2 weeks until the end of the year. So many people are concentrating on draft position. The storylines are going to be very similar to this past season. And we just really don't know anything, it seems, anymore. Everything's very hush. Is Andrew Luck going to come back ever? You know, that's what people are going to continue to ask. And none of us know anything because everything has been so hush. The last time Will was on, Will talked to us about how he basically really enjoyed what the Kansas City Chiefs do when they have a player with a significant injury, and that is to bring in their training staff or doctors or just whoever. They're invited into to the press conferences. They give the answers. They talk about the procedures and the process to regaining the health with not only that player, but that player's issues. The Colts don't do that. You know, Pagano talks and says they've got this or they've got that. Assistant coaches aren't allowed to talk on it. Nobody basically is allowed to talk on it other than Pagano. And it's all very, very simple and simplistic as far as to the information that is given to us. And, you know, Will has a lot of interesting thoughts on all this stuff and can't wait to talk to him. He like I said, he always has very good knowledge to pass on to us. It makes us all smarter and makes us understand a little better about the process at hand. And, you know, I just really hope that when this all comes out that Luck, whether it's the pain that is the determining factor or whether it's actually to see if there's actually something wrong with the shoulder still, I want to know. I want to see it. And we talked. We want if Andrew Luck is not in camp on that first day tossing the ball 50 yards down the field, we've got something to worry about. If he is, I think we're in good shape. But I believe that the length of this recovery is from 3 to 6 months, and I would say that some would say it's closer to 5 to 9 months. And there's just some different estimates in that regard. One of the things that really, you know, kind of put a nice twist to what seems to be bad news is that apparently, from what the Colts are hearing, at least, everything is positive right now, very positive right now. And we don't really know anything anyways. You know, they could say anything, basically. Word is that Andrew Luck this. Word is that Andrew Luck that. But we won't know because we won't hear from Andrew Luck. We'll hear from the talking heads. And quite honestly, I prefer that we hear from Ballard and that's it. Irsay doesn't know anything. Even if he knows it, you know what I'm saying? And you understand what I mean? He very impossible to take anything that he says and really truly believe it by at this point, because he's kind of, fans believe that he's led them astray, that there are some inconsistencies with the truth, to say the least, with some of the stuff that he said in the recent past. Ballard always seems to give the real story, at least, the knowledge that he has. Maybe he leaves stuff out. But he always seems to at least give the bulk of the pertinent information. And that's really what the Colts need, really what the fans need. But more importantly, this season has been a pretty big disaster. Not a disaster in the feeling that the team just has been terrible, because that is exactly what it's been for me. But for other people, there is the feeling that this season, because it's in a rebuild, somehow they seem to forget that. And we'll jump to the major conclusions of that this team's just bad. It's just awful. Not considering, you know, that all the injuries, not considering that this has literally been torn down just like it was in 2011. Not considering that Jacoby Brissett has been under center the entire season. Not considering that we've got a lame duck coach, not considering that probably any of these position coaches and or coordinators will not be in-house next year, not considering that they just didn't think Andrew Luck was going to be here this year. Because I think, honestly, that you don't get that from Jim Irsay. You don't get the he'll be luck at the start, or Luck will be ready at the beginning of the season. Not necessarily saying week one, but that was what he was alluding to. First few weeks, for sure, right? I don't think that Irsay thought legitimately that Luck wouldn't be ready in the first four games of the season. If he did, I don't think that Irsay would have said that. Look, Irsay rattles off some weird stuff sometimes. But I don't think that Irsay would directly lead people astray. I think it was after that, for me at least, that led to a little bit of credence that, yeah, they're kind of duping the fans at this point with everything. Not only did they take up a roster spot with Luck, but they just seemed to keep hammering home. He's going to play. He's going to play. Luck himself said he's going to play. So I can understand the aggravation. I can understand the lack of understanding. I can understand the lack of trust with the team right now. If there's anything that this team needs to retool, it is the ability for the fans to trust them. It is to bring in a legitimate head coach who is a good head coach, who will be a good head coach, who can bring in the right scheme, who can bring in the right head or position in coordinators, those kind of coaches. So there's a lot to think about between now and the 2018 season, and now it's just ballooning into even more with the Andrew Luck news. And this is something that is going to continue to divide fans. People will be, you know, far off to one side, far off to the other, very little in the middle. And we'll have to just see what happens. But so, like I said, I did bring in Will. Will wants to, you know, I want to hear what Will has to say about this. And he always has great information, always will explain to us exactly what is necessary for us to understand, and adds in some very creative and interesting points to kind of maybe bring the big picture into focus a little bit. So I'm excited to talk to him. But more importantly, thank you guys all for all that you're doing. Wanted to say that off the jump. I really appreciate all that you guys have done for the show. The show has done fantastic in its first season, and I could not thank you guys more. Let's just hope that we don't have to talk about Jacoby Brissett, honestly, anymore, because I think that this, you know, situation with Andrew Luck, should it go awry, this really is going to set this franchise back. It's going to be hard to be a fan. It's going to be hard to write about the team. It's going to be hard to talk about the team. And I think that the, you know, the organization in general might be where they were in 2011, but the situation won't be a number one overall pick, and there won't be another Andrew Luck. So it's a little frightening just at that onset for sure. So wanted to thank you guys again, like I said, for everything that you guys have done for the show. And, you know, please continue to rate and review. We're 2.5 weeks, guys, away from really diving into draft talk, free agency talk, bringing in some great guests to do that as well. So look forward to it. I'm looking forward to digging in. I've stayed completely away from the draft process and all of the possibilities, the top tens, the all this and that, positions. And then I'm going to dive in full force, 100% into my time to trying to find the best players at the best positions of need for the Colts. So I hope you guys will join me for all that. Should be a fun offseason. We'll hope to put the content out that you guys want to hear, and we'll have a lot of people, good people on, and have some great points to take in as well. So you guys hang tight for a minute. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Will Carroll right after this. We are back at the Colts Cast, guys. Thanks for coming back. We're here with Will Carroll. You guys can catch him at Injury Expert on Twitter. Will, thank you so much for joining us tonight, man.
Yeah, I wish it was just a better occasion.
Yeah, nah, no kidding. Kind of a strange situation as well, because we see all the titles of all these articles coming up and all the explanations, and there's a little bit of back and forth, I guess you could say, with looking at, you know, you drop the part where Andrew Luck might have to have bicep surgery, but then there's a little bit of a caveat in there that, you know, the beginning of this whole situation is starting with him going through resuming his throwing regimen. Can you kind of explain to us why would the throwing regimen, or him going back to throwing, why would that necessarily determine whether or not he was to get bicep surgery or not?
Let's start with what we're talking about. I mean, he's been in Europe. We don't know. Let's be clear on this. We don't know what went on over there. There was a lot of talk about Regenikine. That may have happened. That may not have happened. We haven't had a confirmation of that. But he's obviously been doing something more, and there's been absolutely no news about that. Now, if this were someone else, I would have been really concerned. That would be unusual. Of course, Andrew was very comfortable in Europe. He grew up partially in Germany. He's been over there several times. But this was obviously more than just a vacation to see some soccer games or something. So there's a new element of things we don't know. That he's coming back and starting a throwing program at least tells us things went more or less to plan. It's not like he's saying, you know what, I can't come back and throw. Mm-hmm. We always knew he was going to come back and start throwing at some point. I mean, at least we hoped so. The indications had been that it wasn't going to happen until later in January. So maybe things went well. Maybe they need a distraction from the end of the season. Again, and this is going to be a theme, we don't know. So once he comes back, once he starts throwing again, they're going to start off with what should be, and again, we don't know, what should be a standard throwing progression. Now, this is what everybody does when they start moving out of the medical rehab phase and into the functional rehab phase. They want to get his arm strength up. They want to get the stamina up. They want to be able to make sure that he can do what he's going to need to do as an NFL quarterback. Now, obviously, they're not going to gear him all the way back up. This is essentially going to be a short cycle where they want to see whether or not his shoulder's going to hold up. And if it doesn't, they're going to have a very quick turnaround, a line in the sand of saying, you know, by this date, we have got to make a decision on whether this shoulder is good enough or whether the next step is surgery. Because if that next step is surgery, and again, let's be very clear, if the next step is surgery, it's got about a 6 to 9 month recovery. So they can't go very long without getting deep into the season. I would imagine it's going to be sometime in late January where they are going to have to make that decision. And you know, at that point, we'll at least know something.
So explain, and because I don't know either, but explain to both myself and the listeners, why is it that bicep surgery, bicep tendon surgery is the step after this? I mean, wouldn't it be, I mean, because common thought, I don't really understand what connects the two, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, this is the problem, is that it's not very understood. Most people hear biceps and they think of the muscle of the upper arm. You know, you tell a little kid, hey, make a muscle. They pop up the biceps. It's you know, muscle beach kind of thing. You think of Arnold Schwarzenegger or Lou Ferrigno posing, and they have those big giant biceps. That's not really what we're talking about here. This is in the shoulder. Now, it is the biceps tendon, which connects to that muscle that we all know. But this actually connects up right underneath the labrum. And there's actually some debate. Imagine this. It's 2017. We're having a debate about whether or not this is a distinct anatomical piece or whether there's actually what some surgeons call the bicep labrum complex. There's a lot of times where things kind of blend together. And is that one thing? Is that two things? At what point does the calf start being the Achilles tendon? It's actually different on different people. Mm-hmm. But for the biceps tendon, it goes right under the area where Andrew had surgery before, which is the posterior labrum. They did a posterior approach on his last surgery, and if that didn't take, or if there is, and there's, again, no indication that's the case, the indications that we've had in what little information we do have is that he still has pain and soreness, perhaps a little bit of reduced range of motion. If so, it is possible that that biceps is involved. So the next step, at least as indicated by Chris Mortensen today, who is absolutely perfectly sourced, I don't think he would have put this information out there without knowing absolutely what was going on. And I have some theories about who leaked it to him. This surgery is serious. It's called tenodesis, which is basically that they're going to go in and cut the tendon out and then reattach it in a different place in order to make sure it doesn't interfere with that original location. Now, sometimes you know, with significant overuse injuries, you think baseball pitchers, And there are very few that have had this surgery and have come back. There's very few that have had the surgery. There's none that have come back from it that I can find in a pro rank. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really complex, really, really uncommon surgery. So for that to be the case, they've got to have suspected this very early on. So I wonder, you know, we know he consulted with several surgeons. The Colt surgeon wanted him to continue to throw, see if he got used to the soreness, whether it, you know, he got past it. There were some that obviously wanted to shut him down and do more therapy, which is what he decided to do. And there was some middle ground in there as well. So I'm going to be very curious to see where this is because, you know, was there an aggressive doctor somewhere along the line that said, you know what, you might just need a biceps tenodesis? And if so, I mean, that's an extreme one. So it'll be very curious to see exactly what this process is. The problem is, I don't think the Colts are going to tell us. There's no indication they're going to let Andrew come out and give us any further information. So to summarize that very long answer, if he needs a surgery, it's going to be a complex surgery that we have absolutely no comparable player to have done in the past. So, yeah, that's what you have to look forward to.
And that's so, I mean, obviously that's, you know, very concerning for, you know, not only Colts fans, but the Colts in general. Let me ask you about this. Now, as you mentioned, we don't know exactly what he was doing over there. Obviously, the assumptions about what he was doing in Europe as far as, you know, whether it was the platelet-rich plasma stuff or the stem cell or whatever.
We know that's not the case. Now, it may have been involved, but there's absolutely no reason. You know, if you want to have knee surgery, we got really good knee surgeons here. Mm-hmm. Now, what you do, you go to Europe for something you either can't get here or that somebody does better over there.
Okay.
You know, if there's you know, great surgeons here, there's great surgeons there. There's great surgeons in Asia. So, you know, in some situations, if what you want is for Andrew to go to the best possible option, what was that? You know, if it was just PRP, heck, everybody does that at this stage. If it was Regenikine, then that can be done here in the U.S. You have to look around a little bit, and it's expensive. I don't think cost is really the issue. So what was it he was doing over there? I mean, there's not a big throwing sport medical community over there. Now, there's obviously track and field. There's obviously some other thing over there. But most of the high-level doctors are focused around the pro sports there, which tend to be track and field, soccer, rugby, some of those, and none of those are throwing sports unless you really want to get into javelin.
Right.
But then we've had great track and field doctors over here, so it's kind of a stretch. So what was it? The fact that we just have absolutely no indication of what he was doing over there, if it was simply Regenikine, then you could fly over and do that, you know, in an afternoon, basically, a weekend at most. So what was he doing for a month? Was there a therapist he was working with? Was there a doctor he was working with? What the heck was he doing? And, you know, at some point, I'd really like to know just for curiosity, but this one's absolutely mysterious because, of, you know, not just on the Colts side, but from Andrew Luck's side, there have been very little in the way of leaks, which is actually fairly impressive in this day and age.
Right, yeah. But isn't there a little, like, some sort of extra blood manipulation or something that they can do over there that they can't do here?
No, there's actually doctors here that can do Regenikine in pretty much the same exact forms that are done over there. Now, are they FDA approved? There's some question about that.
Okay, gotcha.
But, you know, what you don't see is a lot of times, Matt, if you or I went and said, you know what, my knees are kind of trash, but I'm hoping to avoid a knee replacement for the next year. Let's say I want to dance at my daughter's wedding, or, you know, I can't miss something at work. I could go to New York. There's a doctor in New York that does Regenikine, and I just have to hand him a big wad of cash. It's multiple thousands of dollars, and my insurance is not going to cover it. But there are players on the Colts who I know have gone to him. I don't want to name any of them because they haven't talked about it publicly, and I don't think it's my place to out something like that when it's not newsworthy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he could have stayed here, but he went over there for what I have to think is some good reason.
So the real question, as far as in the medical community or people who are in the know a little bit more than, or quite a bit more than the most of us lay people, is the fact that it was the time frame that he was over there, like how long he was over there, that really is the question as to, and even speculate, even mild speculation, what could it be? Because I don't think that even we, as, like I said, lay people, can even speculate as to what that was, if it was, you know, because I wouldn't even have known.
Oh,
that
we
it was
speculate.
That. Okay. Well, throw a couple at us.
That's the thing. It could be a million different things. There could be a therapist or a physiotherapist, what we call a physical therapist over here, that has some special technique. We could go anything from massage to, some sort of ultrasound. I can't find anybody that has anything we can't do over here. But, you know, if he just suddenly decided he wanted to go over and work with the guy who, worked on Zlatan Ibrahimovic's knee. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Zlatan came over here, so that's a terrible example. Cristiano Ronaldo's hamstrings. Or you wanted to work with Leo Messi's therapist, who has kept him healthy all these years despite his myriad physical problems. He could do that. A lot of times, I remember after Adrian Peterson had his knee and came back so successfully, everybody was asking, hey, who did Adrian Peterson's knee? So maybe he said, you know what, there was this injury over in Europe and I just feel like doing it. On the other hand, I really don't know of any technical reason that there's something being done over there that's not being done over here, at least in terms of shoulders. Now, on hamstrings, they're flat out better than us right now because they've been doing ACL programs and Nordic hamstring programs and a bunch of other things. They've been working on things that the NFL teams still aren't even started on. So if it were that, I would understand it, and I could say, oh, it's probably this. With shoulders, I am at an absolute stump, though, maybe he's talking with Dr. Arava, who's basically the James Andrews of Europe. Maybe he's working with a therapy group over there that he's more comfortable with. I don't know, but all we've been doing on this thing for the better part of a year and at least for the next at least 6 months is going to be speculation because, again, we just don't know.
Right. Maybe. Now, here's a positive twist to it. Maybe Luck was over there for so long with all those expert hamstring guys, that he was bringing them back, like recruiting them to be on the Colts staff because the Colts have had so many of those that he maybe wanted to bring those guys on board to keep some of his guys healthy next year.
You'd sure like to think that, but here's an interesting note on this. We talked last time about the poor results the Colts medical staff has had. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say that Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay are going to think about replacing some of those. You would want to do it immediately after the season, early in that area, and you would certainly want to talk to some people. There's been a lot of speculation that Ballard would raid Rick Berkholder's staff with the Chiefs because he's familiar with them, and the Chiefs are one of the best and also one of the most open. If that were the case, he would have to wait until after the season, which, it's going to be well into January. If you're having to make a decision on your franchise quarterback, the last thing you're going to want to do is change something in the middle. So, we don't know that the Colts medical staff is involved with this at all, other than on a consultative basis. I'm sure they're keeping track of him. But are they actually involved in the day they care? No, we know that. But will they be when he comes back? You would like to think, I don't know if you'd like to think so, given some of their results. Mm-hmm. But I find it hard to believe they could change the midst of what could be a franchise-defining medical situation, which is going to make it pretty tough. Now, that's not to say you couldn't wait until February, March, and still not find a great athletic trainer or a great physical therapist or a great strength and conditioning guy. You could. but I think the timing would be fairly interesting.
Now, with, like I said, there was like some of the, you know, he could have this surgery, but, you know, he's going to start throwing. There was also, I mean, apparently per Zach Kiefer, he mentioned that what the Colts are hearing right now is that everything is positive. So, I mean, is this, and this may sound like a stupid question, but honestly, I mean, yeah, I'd like to ask, is this one of those situations where it's, look, we're just simply giving you all of the possibilities.
Why? They haven't given us any possibilities before, Matt.
Right, yeah, so yeah, right.
They're suddenly tossing this in there. Right. I think Chris Mortensen, again, one of the best NFL reporters there is, you know, certainly one of the top in the history of that game. I don't think he talked this out there idly. Just that, you know, that's not a word in the back of his head. How about we toss this into a report? No, somebody has given the information saying, you know, he's going to come back. Things are going well. But if not, here's the next step. I think that's what they said. So could everything be positive? Absolutely. Could he come back and throw, you know, like we've seen Andrew Luck throw on day one? Absolutely. Could that surgery be 1% possibility? Absolutely. But we don't know, which means all we have is speculation. So why won't the Colts tell us? Why won't the Colts tell their fans? This is more, you know, someone in the Colts accused me of saying, well, you just hate that you don't know the scoop, that you don't have a source on this. No, not really. I'm not in that game anymore. I've got a different job these days. I hate it for the fans because I keep having to talk to guys like you, man. No offense, I like doing that. But because the fans don't know. If I'm a Colts fan and I'm thinking about, I'm sure there's going to be a letter saying, time to re-up your season tickets. I want to know whether I'm going to get to see Andrew Luck or I've got another season of Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
Nothing against Jacoby, but that, I'm sure a lot of people make a different choice. And I've said this from the beginning. The way the Colts have treated this seems disrespectful of the fans. If this continues, man, then it's just getting downright despicable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. When we look at the recovery and everything that's kind of involved in this, this makes you, obviously this makes all the conspiracy theory type guys like, look, I told you, you know, he's done, he's out of here. But then you've got the other side of the guys where it's like, look, is this something, maybe this is just related to pain, like they said, if pain continues, but is this more of a structural thing or is this more of a pain tolerance thing?
We don't know. See, this is why the speculation is so dark. Mm-hmm. And the Colts could absolutely come out and tell us tomorrow everything we need to know, but they won't.
Yeah, but like you said, they've never done that. Why start now?
Yeah, why start now? Because it would be better. That's
right.
Why.
well, you're right.
The fact is, I can make a credible storyline that says pretty much everything they've told, well, the limited things they've told us, and make a very positive case for Andrew Luck. I can also make an exceptionally dark storyline that fits all the same information. And because, you know, he could be back, you know, I'll say tomorrow, physically he could be back ready to go by minicamp. That's very, very plausible. It's also very, very plausible that he never plays again. And that's a pretty broad area to fill in. And because we don't have any information to say where the truth actually lies, the speculation can go from end to end, and it does.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, the Colts fans are obviously, you know, they've been, I said this earlier today, that they've, you know, half the group has been waiting very patiently and kind of, you know, I would say cautiously optimistic, while the other group seems to be have completely jumped off the deep end. And this is a real issue, like you said. You know, the quieter they are and the less forefront they are, you know, the less they bring to the forefront about this situation with, you know, mind you, their freaking franchise player. You know, this is just going to continue to simmer and boil, I guess is a better word to use. And
exactly.
It really throws the fandom off. I mean, this is, there's no in between in this.
And there's not a whole lot of credibility for the Colts.
Right.
Which, speaking of, I do want to address something. A lot of people have been saying that Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, had said earlier that the one specific thing he said is that during the surgery, they had looked at the biceps tendon and it was pristine. A lot of people had focused on the rotator cuff. And as far as I can tell, no one's ever said anything about that. But with the biceps tendon, there was a specific statement. And people have said, well, he lied to us. And I want to be clear about this. Yes, it's possible he did. But in most cases with biceps tendinitis, you're moving an intact ligament. It's the structural setup. You're literally cutting it from where it normally inserts, drilling back into the shoulder bone, the bone of the shoulder. There's bone called a shoulder, but you're drilling back in. And one of the side effects of that drilling is sometimes the head of the humerus actually cracked, is bad. You don't want that. So it is possible that the structural setup is what's bad, not the actual biceps tendon itself. Now, there have been players, John Elway, probably the best known, that actually had the biceps tendon rupture. Now, he played through it. He was pretty darn good at the end of his career. So it is possible. Brett Favre, at the end of his career, had a surgery to essentially rupture that tendon surgically. It's called a tenotomy. And he didn't play so well at the end of his career, but he played, which is more than we've seen from Andrew Luck. Now, right. He is having a tendinitis, which isn't cutting the tendon. It's cutting the tendon and reattaching it in a different area. So we don't have a perfect comp on this, but there's a plausible explanation for saying what Mr. Irsay said was not a lie, though it's equally plausible he lied.
Yeah, it does kind of lean towards, well, he brought something up. That's definitely, you know, cause for conspiracy for sure.
Yeah. Well, again, this is much like, you have to understand what these guys say. You know, Jim is not a doctor. Right. Mortensen is not a doctor. They're getting information from people, and they usually repeat it. This is why I hate when coaches do this same thing, because Chuck Pagano is not an athletic trainer, clearly. And, you know, this guy's got a knee, this guy's got a shoulder. He's not giving his information. He's just parroting it half-heartedly most of the time. And when he has to explain something, he does it poorly most of the time. I'm not calling out Chuck. I mean, most coaches are pretty bad at it. That's why I love the Chiefs, who let their athletic trainer come out and tell them, I don't know why more teams don't do that.
Yeah, and I remember you mentioned that last time you were on, and I was getting ready to bring that up. I'm glad you did. One more question before I get you out of here, Will. Always appreciate your stuff. Excellent, excellent knowledge for all of us that have no idea about any of this stuff. But I guess that being that, you know, myself and I'm sure thousands of other people didn't know anything about the biceps tendon having anything to do with his surgery, or, you know, I'm saying having almost a trickle down effect from one to the other. But is there anything else that could affect? Like, let's say that he has this surgery done. Is there something else that could go bad down the road because of that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's long been a question about whether there was rotator cuff involvement. If you think back to Drew Brees had all sorts of problems. You know, Jim Andrews has described as looking like a grenade went off in there. He had shoulder capsule problems. He had rotator cuff problems. He had, you know, all sorts of things going on. And he's come back and obviously been pretty darn good. You know, could he have further problems? Yes. Disconnecting it and putting it back in place. I mentioned the fact that the bone can crack from where they reinsert it. There could be shoulder capsule problems. There's a small fascial area that goes around the shoulder and basically holds everything in place. It's literally a capsule. There are other things in terms of the movement. If you change a shoulder, it's not like your mama made it. You know, it's different. So is it going to feel different? Yes. Is he going to have to relearn how it feels and, you know, get used to it and strengthen it back up? Absolutely. That bicep is, again, if Luck has a surgery, anybody who has a surgery is going to be braced up for quite a bit of time, and you're going to lose some strength there, not just in the biceps, but in the arm, just like Aaron Rodgers was with his collarbone, because he had to be in that splint for 6 weeks. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that, you know, will cascade down from this possible surgery. And again, that, you know that going in. You know what the possibilities are with any surgery and with any injury. And there are a whole lot of things that can go wrong But luckily, in a lot of situations, you know what these are. You know what the normal complications are. With an NFL quarterback, we just don't.
Hmm. Very scary for Colts fans. Very scary for the Colts in general. I mean, they're literally, their organization is on, is teetering on having to completely reconstruct everything that has, been built with the simple draft pick in 2012 of Andrew Luck when they had the number one overall pick. So this is scary stuff, man.
Absolutely.
Man, Will, thank you so much for making us all smarter. Excellent stuff. Guys, make sure if you have any other questions for, what Will does, go to modusglobal.com. He also has a podcast out at Modus Show on Twitter. Will, excellent stuff, man. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Everybody hang tight for one more break. We'll be back to wrap up the show. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys hanging around. And after Will, man, what great knowledge from this dude. I love having him on. We've been fortunate enough to have some really great people on this show who can really kind of break down all this stuff for us into layman's terms and just give us the the obvious situation that that these injuries or whatever the situation may turn out to be, just the way that they are presented. And a lot of his insight is really great as well. And I thought it was interesting. Some of the stuff that I was asking him, I had asked him from previous, other people on, whether it be Twitter or other articles from medical personnel that I thought were, I don't know any different, obviously, when I read it. But I'm asking questions because that's what I've heard or read on the situation in, the recent hours. And I found a lot of that's, not true from Will. So that's really interesting, and not necessarily medical personnel, but people who are trying to kind of put themselves out there as if they are medical personnel. And some of them, not necessarily so well received, but just the same, they're more medical personnel than I am. So that's something that I felt was interesting. I thought was something that we needed to talk about, obviously, with Andrew Luck being in the situation that he is. And I really thank Will for being on the show. He always offers some fantastic insight and knowledge. But again, I wanted to point out, kind of there's a positive to this, isn't there? I mean, am I being too sunshiny and rainbows and flowers and stuff, or unicorns? What I don't really know. Because you see these reports, and like I said earlier in the show, you see the report of he's going to begin his throwing regimen. I think that in itself, just leave it at that, period. That's a positive, right? We want to see what he's going to do, what he can do, how much he's going to be able to put into getting back out there and throwing. And it's going to be determinant on everything. But then there is but he may need, corrective surgery on biceps tendon. That's obviously not good. But that was one of the questions, like I asked Will. I really didn't know why the hell he was going to have biceps tendon surgery when that wasn't his injury, And so this is why I have these kind of people on, because they can give us the answers that we need that we otherwise have no idea about. And, there are, like I said, some people who understand a little more about this than us. But by and large, I thought it was great knowledge. I thought it was very easy to understand for the most part. There was a little bit of technical difficulties there on the first piece of the call, but I think it smoothed out. It was easy for me to understand. I hope that you guys were able to as well. But the positive to me is that Andrew Luck comes back, throws, and there's no pain, and he's good to go. Or does he have no pain, but somebody still wants to have surgery, whether it's him or another? My issue is that this doesn't drag on, right? They were talking about January. And even to one of Will's comments and returns to somebody on Twitter earlier today was, I don't think that they're that far behind or necessarily that they are behind at all. This is just kind of the way this stuff shakes out. And to me, that's, a real twist of emotions, right? We don't know if Andrew Luck's going to be back for 2018. We don't know that he'll be even gone for a little while. But for him to go through another surgery, to have to go through all of this, and just to get back on the field, for the 2018 season is insane. People have speculated that he's so smart, he's an architect, he's this or that, you know, and he's not going to waste his time killing his body playing for a crappy organization like the Colts who aren't taking care of him. Look, I wouldn't even say that that's impossible, okay? I'm obviously hopeful he plays, but I mean, my only part is that when it comes to, oh, he's already done, you don't know a damn thing about whether Andrew Luck's done. Nothing. Nothing. Because even Will said this during the interview. We don't know about anything. And certainly some jackass on Twitter doesn't know. Or certainly nobody else knows. But those are the situations we find ourselves. It's going to be difficult. This is what I was getting to earlier. It's going to be difficult to be a Colts fan. Because you've got the people who are all the way bent on one end or the other. There's very little middle ground. But we need, as a fan base, a lot of middle ground. We need to be hopeful and to attempt to understand as much as we possibly can about what Andrew Luck's dealing with, what this team's dealing with. And we really, really need our new GM to knock it out of the ballpark this offseason, guys. We need him to bring in oodles of talent, young through the draft, experience through free agency, not overspent though, and old. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I want to say it's going to be fun, but when your franchise quarterback's on the shelf and recovering, and we go through this for 2 years in a row, I mean, that's 2 years. This guy could have been throwing touchdowns for the Colts. So, thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you coming back on. Will's always great. And we will be back for our Wednesday show. And we will just continue to roll this bad boy out. The Colts do play Saturday. So that's something that's new for us so far. We go from Thursday to Saturday. Still a nice, a longer break between games than we're used to. But this will be, you know, two more weeks of this, and then we can start really harping and hunkering down on the draft and free agency and offseason and all this other great stuff too. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you on Wednesday right here on the Colts Cast.